Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, the Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway following a 5-2 Flames loss to the Washington Capitals here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame, and let's get some immediate postgame reaction from the Flames locker room as we check in with defenseman Braden Pahal following this one tonight. Braden, 5-2 game, but it felt a whole lot more hard-fought than that on this end, but I guess kind of your thoughts on how this one went tonight.
Yeah, I think we played them well 5-on-5, and at the end of the day, it was a special teams battle, and you know, their power play has been really good as of late, so you know, it's on me and the rest of the team to stay disciplined, and we didn't do that tonight, so they capitalized.
The way that your group played in the third period, I know you don't ultimately come back, but feel like that was just another third period that the group kind of got back to the identity and made this a little bit closer and pushed there in the third?
Absolutely. I think we had tons of chances in the third to, you know, generate. And, you know, we got momentum and we started getting to our game more. You know, like I said, staying disciplined and getting to our game gets all four lines into it. And, you know, I think we saw that in the third.
Felt like their goalie was pretty dialed, but did you feel like the group got enough traffic in front of Lindgren tonight?
Yeah, I think he played solid, obviously. I don't know what it was, maybe 35 shots. And, you know, I think that's on us to just get in front of him more and give him more traffic to, you know, make it harder on him.
And a final question for you, Braden. You don't play again until Saturday. You get a couple of days without coming to the rink, and then you're back at practice on Thursday. Just and I know there's no excuses, but how much does the group need just a little bit of a breather here before you're back at it in Vancouver on Saturday?
Yeah, it's a tough schedule in this league. Anytime you can get some rest, it's you have to take advantage of it. So that's what we're going to do these next couple days and get back into it. And, you know, hopefully we can battle for a playoff spot coming down the stretch here.
Braden, really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this, eh?
Thank you.
That is Braden Pahal postgame following a Flames 5-2 loss to Washington here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Our Flames Talk postgame show is underway on this Monday night. It's Pat Steinberg along with you, Megan Mickelson, Derek Wills around the table here in the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome. 5-2 final. Flames fall to Washington. Our Flames Talk postgame available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. You know, Mick Wilsey said it, I think, after 40 minutes of play, and I was thinking the exact same thing. Kind of felt like the script flipped a little bit from what we saw on Saturday, where the Flames were the opportunistic team and the power play was the difference. Well, tonight it felt like Washington was the opportunistic team, and they scored two power play goals, which ended up being the difference.
Yeah, and I didn't mind the Flames start the way they came out. I thought that they had energy and they had jump once again. And then, you know, for Washington, I mean, the first goal that they scored after that, they just seem to kind of take over momentum of the game. But yeah, just a much better job of getting, you know, to those, you know, high danger areas and then getting the puck to those areas as well. And then they had traffic and, you know, were creating chaos and found ways to put the puck in the back of the net. So that was just like execution in terms of their offense. But I mean, I said it on the pregame show that one of the things they needed to make sure that they did in this game was to stay out of the penalty box.
Yeah.
Because coming into this one since February the 8th, the Capitals' power play was over 30%. So, I mean, you need to stay out of the box against a power play that is that hot. And, you know, that's when the game kind of got away from them. And then from there, Charlie Lindgren pretty much just shut the door and was really solid. The Flames just couldn't find a way to claw back into it.
Yeah, staying out of the box when you're playing against a team that has the greatest power play goal scorer in the history of the game is usually a good idea. And, you know, the Flames took three penalties that led to Capitals power plays, and unfortunately it was a tough night for their third pairing, and Braden Pahal was in the box for both of those Alex Ovechkin goals. So that's probably not going to sit well with him or with the coaches. I didn't think the Flames were terrible tonight. The Capitals were much more opportunistic than they were. Special teams really, at the end of the night, was the big difference in this hockey game. Those two power play goals by Ovechkin, if you subtract the empty netter, that's the difference. So I give credit to the Capitals. Yeah. End of a five-game road trip, two blow losses to start the trip, two really solid wins coming into this game, 2-1 versus both the Kraken and the Canucks. And then I thought they played a really good road game. Megan, I agree. The Flames got off to a pretty good start. And then I thought the Capitals just checked them to death. And you could see some frustration from the Flames. Mackenzie Weegar comes to mind. He was fired up for most of the night, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in not such a good way, as he took a penalty as well. But I give the Capitals credit for playing a really good road game. And unfortunately for the Flames, ran into a good goaltender in Charlie Lindgren and just didn't take advantage of their power plays or the opportunities they generated at even strength.
Yeah, Charlie Lindgren, one of the breakout goalies of the year, doubt about it. He came in with a 9-14. He's really helped solidify Washington in their situation. And the Caps move back into a playoff spot with their 5-2 win. They're a desperate group out east. They leapfrog Detroit into the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference with this win. Our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. In the pregame show, Wilsey, we were talking about Dustin Wolf and had an opportunity to win his third straight game. He started his third straight game, was great in his last two. And I don't know, I feel like it was more of an opportunistic night for Washington tonight than it was anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fault Dustin Wolf for any of the goals against. I guess you could argue he could have had the Dylan Strome goal. No chance on either Alex Ovechkin goal. Mm-hmm. Just an absolutely perfect redirect into the top corner that made it 2-0. And then he scores from his office, where he scored about a million goals, to make it 3-0. And then the fourth goal was a complete fluke. A blind play to put the puck towards the net, a blind shot to knock it off the post and into the net. Yeah. So I don't fault them for any of them, to be quite honest.
Let's bring in Cale MacLean, Flames assistant coach now, who joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge on our Flames Talk postgame show. How'd you see this one tonight, Cale? A 5-2 setback for your group.
I saw it as a tough game. I thought that Washington deserves credit for playing. You know, they play a tough game. They're a big, strong team, and they defensively compete very hard. I think where we missed an opportunity was in the first 10 minutes of the game. We came out and had some opportunities. It wasn't a lopsided game, but there are opportunities to sort of get into gear offensively against a team that is not going to give you very much. And we didn't manage to take advantage of those. And then that turned into a one-goal deficit, you know, against us. So suddenly, for the rest of the game, we battled uphill. So I thought that was a tough one. We did some things that that you like, but we didn't capitalize enough offensively. We had a couple of looks that we needed to score on when you're playing a team that isn't going to give you a whole lot.
Well, and oftentimes, Wilsey and I were talking about upstairs, just when you're down in a game and you're not scoring, oftentimes we see the coaching staff kind of switch things up in terms of the forward lines and the combinations. Just in terms of keeping the groupings together, did you like what you were seeing? And was that kind of why you kept the guys together? Or are you liking the chemistry that you're seeing from the groups that you have right now?
I think over the course of time, yes. And there were some looks for some lines in, you know, earlier in the game. And then the Rooney line capitalized. There are some things that the Mangiapane Backlund Coleman line did that brought them close to it. It looked like they might have been on the verge there. And I think that part of it also was just over time. We've had some chemistry there. Wanted to stick with that, see if we could come through for each other. And it felt like we were starting to get some momentum in the third period, but nothing gave way there. After we scored that second goal, we weren't able to sort of carry on from there, unfortunately.
Just your thoughts on that fourth line, Kevin Rooney, AJ Greer, and Matt Coronato, who I didn't really project to be a fourth line player, but I give him credit for being able to play a different role than he's probably ever played. Did you like that group in this game?
I thought that they gave us some good push. They created the goal. They had a great forecheck opportunity in the third period off of turnover under the goal line right out front to Matt Coronato, who had a great look. And then Rooney got the next look right after. And I thought that, yeah, they brought us some energy in that respect, and they were able to sort of play a north-south game. Unfortunately, those are the kind of things I'm talking about, where we had that double look right there where we need to squeak one of those out. Mm-hmm. And that happened several times for us tonight. I thought that our execution at that end point wasn't where it needed to be to sort of get that game back under control.
We're chatting with Cale MacLean, Flames assistant coach, following a 5-2 setback against Washington here at the Dome. What are you seeing from Matt Coronato on this most recent recall that maybe is different than other times that we've seen him in the NHL?
Learning to be a little more straightforward with the puck. You know, he made a really nice entry play where it was quite fancy, and he sort of executed the play tonight. But for the most part, as a young player in the NHL, as you're getting your feet under you, you need to make sure that you play in a way that's going to set your line up for success. And I think that Matt's learning that, to be solid along the walls, to put pucks in. And as a result, when you have increased zone time, you're going to find yourself in those spots that he found himself with that opportunity in the third period. So I think that he's learning to play a more mature game in that sense offensively. And every rep you can get in the NHL in terms of learning how to play away from the puck or defensively is a big sort of, not bonus, but it's a, you're slowly learning in that sense. Matt's a reliable player. He's a hardworking player, but there's, you know, there's still steps he's got to take away from the puck, and I think those are getting better. So I think he's playing a more responsible game overall.
Dustin Wolf coming into this game off of two stellar performances. Just what did you make of his game tonight?
I thought that he was solid, and I heard you guys talking when I came in. There were a number of goals tonight that Dustin didn't have a lot of chance on. You know, that was a tough one. Yeah, I think there might be one or two he would want back. Like, he's a competitive guy, and he'd tell you that first goal, that it was a point-blank wrister, but still, like, Dustin's competitive. I bet you he tells you he wants to see that one again. You know, some, as you mentioned, the Ovechkin one-timer that deflected off our defenseman, tough save to make. The last goal was really a, you know, or put it toward the net, swing at it, goes in off the crossbar. You got to just tip your hat to them on that one in terms of a little bit of luck there. But I thought Dustin was solid. Not an easy game. Big bodies around the net. Mm-hmm. And he stood in there. I thought he managed the puck well around his net. And it was something where, you know, we're still in that game. We needed to find some more offense for him. Mm-hmm.
There haven't been a ton of changes in your top nine at forward or in your top four on defense, but there have been on your fourth line and on your third pairing. Could you maybe talk a little bit about the importance of internal competition? Because I do think that we're going to see a lot of that down the stretch this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, it definitely drives performance. And I think that, you know, having guys that can push into different roles is not only going to, you know, push the other people around them, but also it puts a little pressure on those guys that can attain that as well. And that's what we need too, is we need not guys looking over their shoulder, but guys seeing that there's opportunity and making sure that they're driving forward for that. Because in order to elevate our team and elevate our play, we need guys to seize opportunity and make something happen. So I like it, you know, in more ways than one. And I think that that competition is something that when we're playing our brand of hockey, we're competing hard, we're working hard, and that sort of permeates right through our lineup from line one all the way down to third pair of D.
Kale, final thought, and you don't play again until Saturday, and you're going to take the next 2 days off. No practice Tuesday, no practice Wednesday, and then back at it Thursday. How much does the group need a little bit of a rest and some time away from it here?
I think when you step back and look at it from a sort of macro view, they do need some time. It's been 7-12, I think, yeah. Now, and there's been a lot of games, whether they're at home and on the road, that have piled onto each other, and you can tell that guys are working, but you also know some guys are hurting and some guys need a little bit of time and some guys just need a little bit of sunshine, to be honest. Like, they need to get out and they need to get away from the rink a bit and recharge and refuel and be ready to come back against a really tough Vancouver team. So it'll be a good challenge for us.
Kale, appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That is Kale McLean, Flames assistant coach, following a Flames 5-2 setback at the hands of the Washington Capitals here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. It's our Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Pat Steinberg, Derek Wills, and Megan Mickelson around the table. Let's select tonight's hardest-working Flame. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Are you the hardest-working plumber or HVAC tech? Canyon's hiring. Send resumes to jobs@canyonplumbing.com. Flames.com. Mick, which way are you leaning for tonight's hardest working Flame?
Well, I'm going to give this one to Kevin Rooney. I mean, with the minimal amount of ice time that he had, 10 minutes and 39 seconds, he scored a goal, had some great opportunities outside of that as well. And I just think he's been so impactful. And Ryan Huska and the coaching staff had talked about needing a centerman to come in and really grab hold of that 4C role, and he really has. And he made a couple of stellar plays just positionally from a defensive standpoint. So I just have a real appreciation for the way that Kevin Rooney plays the game, the way that he played tonight, just, you know, a ton of work ethic, energy, grit, battle, compete, and got rewarded with a goal.
So Kevin Rooney is tonight's hardest working Flame, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Want to get recognized and rewarded for your achievements? Learn from the best. Send your resume to jobs at canyonplumbing.com. Let's pick up on where we were on Dustin Wolf. It's interesting. I'm curious to hear what the thoughts are on the phone lines and the text line. There's an easy narrative right now that says that if Dustin doesn't have a good night, that, well, it's because he's small. And tough to say that has anything to do with this one tonight. The one that beat him clean was the Strome goal to make it 1-0. But, you know, that wasn't the case of him being small. It just got beat clean, a really good shot, and he had all day to take that shot and picked his spot. Otherwise, deflection, and the weird one that Derek described on Sonny Milano's pitch and catch with Hendricks Lapierre. Mick, I don't know what more, you know, maybe the first goal, but I thought it was a quality outing, all things considered, for Dustin.
Yeah, no, I thought he had a solid game as well, and that's why I wanted to ask Cale, just to, you know, it's always interesting to hear the coaching staff standpoint of, you know, we thought he was solid. Do you agree? And clearly they did agree. And I mean, I think he also makes some saves that other, like, bigger goaltenders wouldn't make because of, like, his ability to move and the way that he reads the play. So to me, this game and the goals that he let in have absolutely nothing to do with, you know, him being small. It has nothing to do with that at all. I think, you know, maybe, yeah, he wants that first one back because it's a point blank shot and you could see it. There was no screen, no tip, no deflection. But you look at the other goals, like Cale was saying, like the Ovechkin tip top corner right under the bar, the cannon of a one-timer, Lapierre's batting it pretty much right out of the air. Like, I don't think any goaltender is stopping those. I thought he was solid. And the last two games, he's made some, like, real 10-beller saves that have proven to me. And this is someone that, you know, earlier on in the season and even before these two games, I was like, is the potential there? Now, having seen him play the last two games, the potential is there. Like, that is very clear. That's evident. And this game tonight is just, like, those were some really nice goals.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to look at it from both sides. I think he had zero chance on three of the four goals he gave up. Mm-hmm. You could argue, yeah, he had a chance on the goal that Dylan Strome scored. But we're also talking about a guy who leads the Capitals in goals and points.
Yeah.
Like, Strome's had a really good season. You know, it's not like he gave that goal up to a ham and cheese sandwich. And then the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game, not officially because he's still 51 goals behind Wayne Gretzky.
Greatest power play goal scorer in the history of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got 309 of those now. Beats him twice. No chance on either one. And the fourth goal was just fluky.
Yeah.
Sorry. And it goes off the post and in. In addition to the little floater that Sonny Milano puts towards the net, and then Hendricks Lapierre just spins and blindly knocks it to the net off the post and in. Like, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, in the last couple of games against the Golden Knights and the Canadiens, there were a number of wow saves from Dustin Wolf. I'm not sure there were many of those or any of those
tonight.
There
was definitely one on a breakaway.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one. So would you like him to make one or two saves that he probably shouldn't make? Sure. But for me, this game was not about Dustin Wolf. He gave them a chance to win. They gave up two goals on the penalty kill, and penalty kill has arguably been their biggest strength this season. They didn't get anything done on three power play opportunities. Mm-hmm. For me, this is about the 18 skaters in front of Dustin Wolf, not about the goalie.
So let me ask you this, because Wes and I talked about it on Flames Talk. Wilsey, you were in the room when we were talking about it, so I'll go to you first on this one. But Wes and I talked about it on Flames Talk Monday afternoon, and that is the whole idea of Jacob looks like, sounds like he's going to be ready to play either Saturday or Sunday, Jacob being Jacob Markstrom. And you probably put him, my guess would be, put him in against his former team. He likes playing the Canucks. If not, maybe you keep him home and he plays Sunday against Buffalo. Either or, sounds like he is ready to return. Do you keep Dustin up? Both Wes and I were on the side of, this is the time where you can roll with three goalies. It's a little bit less of a cumbersome thing.
Yeah.
But I know that not everybody feels that way.
I'm torn. I understand that side of it. It really depends on how often they plan to play him. So you made a great point on Flames Talk when you talked about practice time. Coaches hate having three goalies because you've only got two nets. So you've always got one odd man out. But because they're trying to manage Jacob Markstrom and this lower body injury that he's been dealing with for weeks or for months, he's not spending a ton of time practicing. So I think you can work around that part of it. But Dustin Wolf is a 22-year-old prospect who needs to play in games. So if their plan is to treat him as the number two guy and to play him, sure, keep him up. Because you're not going to put Dan Vladar on waivers and risk losing him for nothing. Especially with the future between the pipes, I think, still up in the air as we head into the offseason. So if you plan to continue to play Dustin Wolf on a fairly regular basis, then keep him up. If you don't, send him down, get him some games, allow him to continue to develop, allow him to help the Wranglers try to get to the playoffs, because assuming the Flames don't make it, I think it'd be a great opportunity for Dustin to get some more experience. I've had so many...
He'll definitely be playing playoff hockey. Yeah.
Well, if they make it. They got to make it, right?
The Wranglers do as well, although they probably will. But you're right. It's no guarantee that they're going to make it either.
I like their chances to make it more with Dustin Wolf than without Dustin Wolf playing down the stretch for them. And I've had so many managers, coaches, players, scouts tell me that the closest you can get to the NHL without playing in the league is the Calder Cup playoffs. So I think it would be a great opportunity for Dustin Wolf to try to accomplish really the only thing he hasn't at the AHL level, and that's to win a championship. So I'm on the fence. Without knowing what their plan would be as far as who's going to be the number one, who's going to be the number two, who's going to be the number three, and how they're going to divide playing time, it's a tough question for me to answer.
Oh, I also think it's a tough question to answer if we don't know what management's plans are in terms of if they're going to move Markstrom or Vladar in the offseason. Right? Like, how do you, I mean, you have to know kind of the ins and outs of what they're thinking for next season. And maybe they don't know that, but maybe they have an idea. So whether you keep them up or not depends on that. I also, you know, I have questions around if it's beneficial for a guy like Dustin Wolf in terms of staying up here, if the Flames are going to lose 5-2, 6-2, you know, if he's just going to get scored on, and if the wheels start to fall off the bus, like, does that help him in his development? Is that beneficial to him as well? So I think, you know, without me knowing what the plans are in terms of, you know, who they're going to play, if there are three goaltenders here and not knowing what their plans are in the off season, I say you keep him up here to give him some more experience around a guy like Jacob Markstrom and Dan Vladar. And Ryan Husk has talked about the professionalism of those two and just learning as much as he can from those guys and, you know, getting him in some games until, you know, if they get him in and the wheels are starting to fall off the bus.
Right.
And then you send him back down.
I just think he's got to play.
Yeah.
If he's going to play up here, keep him up here. If he's not, send him down.
Yeah, I agree. I agreed. I think that's really important, too.
Well, what's the best for his development?
Playing.
Is it, though? Is it being around, you know, NHL-caliber goaltenders? Is it starting to be a part of this team's culture and making sure that he's, you know, a big part of the group and just being in this atmosphere, in this environment, like maybe those other things, maybe they see that as being really important in his development as
fair.
Well.
It's
and practicing,
fair.
I mean, you get a lot out of practice.
Well, especially
I know it's
because
not the same as playing games.
And Markstrom's not practicing right now. Even when he's healthy,
he's
barely practicing and not doing morning skates.
Yeah.
So it's not like there will be a lot of three goalies, two nets situations because Markstrom is being managed the way he is.
Well, the other thing, and you could probably get around this, they've already used two of their four recalls. Okay, so if they send him down, they don't necessarily have to use another recall to bring him back up because you could call it an emergency with Jacob Markstrom battling whatever he's been battling for weeks or months, right?
Mm-hmm.
But semantics, I suppose, but something else to consider. I just think he needs to play. I do think there is value in him being around this team and practicing with this team, but ultimately I think he needs to play in some games. The good news is the two teams live in the same building, right? So it's not like they're in Stockton or in Glens Falls or even in Abbotsford. So it's easy enough to kind of move him between the Flames and the Wranglers if they decide that's the best plan.
We will hear, rather, from head coach Ryan Huska very shortly. Also get to your phone calls. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. As we'll get to you and your thoughts following a 5-2 loss against Washington shortly. But first, some final thoughts from our broadcast duo of Derek and Megan, starting with Mick.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of reiterating what I said earlier in terms of like the way they came out and their start, and I think this could have been a much different hockey game if they would have scored a goal in the first 15 minutes of the game. And then from there on, it was a matter of, you know, to me, not Dustin Wolfe making more saves. It was, you know, the guys in front of them finding a way to execute in terms of burying the puck and putting it in the back of the net. So, I mean, it's a tough one. You know, as everyone knows, every single point matters. And, you know, I know I said it earlier in the season to you guys, but it just seems like when they get scored on, they're a very fragile group just in terms of you can see the body language. And I mean, it has to be tough. You know, they come out every single game, give them credit and the resilience and the character that they've shown. They continue to push even late in the game. I said it on the broadcast, like no matter what the score is, like these guys, they just continue to push and they continued to work. So it's, I mean, it has to be tough for them right now, but yeah, this is a tough one for them, but it'll be nice to get some time off, get away from the rink, get your body, your mind together, and come back ready to play on Saturday.
The script got flipped on them from Saturday to Monday.
Right.
So Saturday, the Canadians spent way more time in the offensive zone than the Flames. The Flames won that hockey game for three reasons. Dustin Wolfe, the power play, and the penalty kill. Tonight, Flames spent way more time in the offensive zone than the Capitals. In my opinion, the Capitals won this game for three reasons, the same three reasons. Charlie Lindgren was, I think, quietly really good in this game tonight, and the power play and the penalty kill. Take away the empty netter, it's a two-goal game. The Flames go 0-for-3 on the power play, the Capitals go 2-for-3.
Yep.
That's the difference tonight. Yep. So I don't think the Flames played a bad game. They just didn't play a good enough game against the Capitals team that's desperate for points right now. And you could argue more desperate than the Flames because they're within striking distance. As a matter of fact, they moved into a playoff spot with the 2 points they picked up tonight. So I give credit to the Capitals. I think they played a really good road game, which is sometimes tough to do at the end of a long trip. But they got the job done tonight, and now the Flames get some much-needed R&R, and I'm looking forward to what should be a fun hockey game that hopefully features Jacob Markstrom and Connor Zeri when the Flames face the Canucks on Saturday.
Yep, good extra chunk of time to rest. Enjoy the light week, friends. Have a good rest of your week.
I think all of our voices could use a light week.
Yeah, agreed.
Good night.
Good night. Megan Mickelson, Derek Wills signing off following a Flames 5-2 loss to Washington. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Huska right now.
Your thoughts on the game, Brad?
5-on-5, I thought we did some things that we liked. I don't think we did a good enough job special team-wise. For me, that was the difference in the game. Both our power play not generating anything for us, but also giving them momentum, and our penalty kill gave up too.
Is it easier said than done to defend Ovechkin when he's in that spot? Like, how's the coach game plan for that?
Yeah, I think there's different ways. For us, we try to make it look like that pass isn't available to him over there, and then we trust our D-man to block those shots, and the one that went in tonight went off a Raz and in, and sometimes that happens.
Think of Dustin Wolf's play?
I thought he was okay. I mean, that goal I just talked about, that's a tough one. You're not going to do much with that because of the deflection, but I thought he was okay.
Everyone talks about his size. That wasn't a factor on the four goals allowed, though. Did you see the size as a factor on those?
No. Hey, listen, that's going to be the narrative all the time. So, you know, it is what it is. The fourth goal beat him high. One was deflected, one was a backdoor tap in. So, and I think the first one he probably want to have back.
The Flames power play, why do you think the team wasn't able to generate as many chances as they should have?
That's a good question. I don't think we got into the zone efficiently enough. I thought it was a little bit, we were over pass happy early on, if you want to call it that, where I thought we had some chances to shoot the puck and we didn't. And it leads to going back and forth. And if you're doing that consistently, you're not fresh, so then you're starting to make tired decisions.
That is head coach Ryan Huska, short and sweet, following a 5-2 loss to the Washington Capitals on this Monday night. Okay, phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday night. We'll get to you around the corner as we continue along on our Flames Talk post-game show. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts, and, of course, live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, pretty much flipped the script from Saturday to Monday. The Flames were the team that probably spent a little bit too much time defending and on the back foot on Saturday against Montreal, but the Habs probably didn't manage the puck as well as they would have liked, and the Flames were able to take advantage and win that game 5-2, scored a couple on the power play, and got a great goaltending performance from Dustin Wolf, which was the difference. Two nights later, it was the Flames who spent more time on the attack. Washington was on the back foot a little bit more, especially at 5-on-5, but the Caps score two power play goals. They were perfect on the penalty kill. They managed the puck a little bit better, and they were able to come away with the victory themselves and got a great goaltending performance from Charlie Lindgren, and that was a big-time difference. So felt very similar, just different sides doing the different things, and it ends up being a 5-2 Flames win on Saturday and a 5-2 Flames loss on Monday. There are still some things to like. I like the fourth line. That was another solid night for them. You know, Matt Coronato in two games playing with Rooney and Greer has been just fine. His details have been good. He played 828, so that's something that is promising, and I think that's something that's going to be able to keep Matt in the NHL maybe for a little while longer than some of his other recalls. So I thought that line was strong. You know, Mackenzie Weegar with an absolute bomb to get the Flames back into it at 4-2. So, you know, I thought there were some positives in this game, but in the end, not the result they were looking for. And a big win for the Capitals, who were the more desperate team in this one, no doubt about it. Okay, we got one line open on the phone lines right now if you want to chat at 403-240-4444. You can also fire us a text at 960-960 to you very shortly. But first, Save of the Game Time, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dustin Wolf made his third straight start, and Wolf's save of the game comes in period number two.
Well, the Capitals will clear it out. Here's McMichael. Ahead to Ovechkin. Ovechkin to McMichael. He dangles in, and Wolf stretches out and makes a fantastic left pad save.
That's one of the 28 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. I thought that Wolf had himself not as strong a game as the last two, but I didn't think he was the primary reason that this game ended up being a loss. The only one that you could make an argument on that
he would have liked to have back was the Strome goal to make it 1-0, sure. But even still, again, that is a fire drill shift from the Flames in their own zone and allowed Strome to walk right into the right circle with a head of steam and absolutely rip it. Now, would Wolf like to have it back? Sure, because goalies like to have those ones back because it was still a clean look. But sometimes a shooter, and in this case, Washington's leading scorer, sometimes a guy just beats another guy, and that's what happened. So would he have liked to have it back? Sure he would. Was it a bad goal? By no means. I still thought Wolf gave him an opportunity to win. The rest of them, I don't see how there was really much he was going to do on any of those. Redirect on the Ovechkin's first goal, so that wasn't a savable goal. Second Ovechkin goal gets tipped by Rasmus Anderson, so tough to put that on any goaltender. And then the fluky fourth one that, yeah, it beat him high, but like what is a goalie supposed to do in that situation? It was a bizarre, kind of weird pitch and catch that, I don't know, 9 times out of 10, that probably doesn't happen the way it did. And in this case, there's Hendrix Lapierre right in front of him, and he kind of swung at it. How do you predict where that thing's going? So, I don't know. I don't really come away from this game feeling negative about Dustin Wolf's performance. I thought Lindgren was the better of the two, but I thought Wolf gave him an opportunity in this one tonight. Let's hear from Dustin Wolf post-game inside the Flames locker room following a 5-2 loss to the Capitals.
Think about that performance as a group and maybe your own tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we just couldn't find the back net a couple more times. You know what, they got some skilled forwards over there, and obviously a guy that's chasing history and buried a couple. And, again, another learning lesson for myself and the group.
What do you think you'll take away from a game like this?
I mean, every time I get a chance to be in there, it's reps of, understanding traffic, how I can, better see pucks, manage my depth, and just ways that I can continue to translate my game from the American League to here.
You have first-hand experience now just about Ovechkin, that slot, that position, his office. Maybe from your vantage point, now that you've faced it, what did you take away from it?
Yeah, I think he only really had one or two good opportunities, and the one happened to hit Raz's stick and go upstairs, but that's a hell of a hockey player over there, and he had a couple of good chances, but it's pretty cool to say he stopped a few.
No shame in being a victim of Alex Ovechkin. 147 goalies. You're the 147th. Who's let a goal in by him?
Yeah, well, I'm sure there'll be a couple more. It's pretty special to play against a guy like that, and obviously didn't get the result, but that was pretty fun.
Are you the kind of guy who, when you're playing, you're like, I have to be better than the guy at the other end?
100%, and give that guy credit. He made some outstanding saves, and that's the nature of the league. Every goalie in this league is really good, and it's just an opportunity for me to come back next time and try to up my game.
If this is your last game on this call up, how will you look back at this latest call up?
I think I'll be pretty pleased. Again, reps are reps, and not a few outstanding outings, and definitely some things to build on, and a couple areas where you can always improve.
There you go, Dustin Wolf, post-game following this 5-2 loss to the Capitals. We'll see if that is his last game on this recall, or if the Flames do look at maybe carrying three goalies for a little while. That's going to be an interesting conversation here over the next little bit. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. This says, the Capitals, more desperate, wanted the game more, very opportunistic. I did think the Caps played a desperate game, and hey, they should. They're fighting for their playoff lives in the Eastern Conference right now. This from Rusty, the Caps are a great stick-checking team. Flames had a hard time converting passes in the O-zone. Also, Lindgren was very rock-solid back there. Even though they lost, it was an entertaining game by the Flames. Lots of zip, just got out-defended tonight. And yes, absolutely. a really, really solid night stick checking for Washington that was definitely noticeable in this game. Was tough to pass clean in either zone, exits or entries, because of that strong stick check mentality from Washington. This from Kyle in Citadel. Tonight felt like a different game, but not in a good way. The team almost felt like they were out of sync after the first goal. They never really got it back. The turnovers killed them, but the bad penalties were what lost it for them. They were outplayed, outworked, and just overall not as good tonight. They seem to still be on the win-loss roller coaster. Wolf was good. Kept his composure after the first goal, which, let's be honest, he should have had. He was plain beat. Derek Wills said you can't blame Wolf for any of the goals, but really, yeah, he should have had that. But that was one of five. Not a great game, but the team kept their work up, kept trying. It just wasn't a good night. It's easier to swallow a loss when the team keeps their feet moving and keep working. It's hard to watch, probably hard to play, but they did good. No reason to feel bad about this one. And just a quick correction. I believe Wills, he said that the only one that he might have wanted to have back was the first one. I think the point that Derek made, which I've made as well and I agree with, is that no, I don't think there's a bad goal allowed by Dustin Wolf in this game. That's how I would look at it. Joel in Cranston says, good evening, Pat. I'm confused. Is Mangiapane supposed to be a checker, a goal scorer, a defensive specialist, or what? This is two bad seasons in a row, and the media will give him a pass like they always do. We both know no other team will take his contract. 13 goals in 66 games is dismal. I didn't have particularly think that Mangiapane had a poor game tonight for the Flames. I thought he was fine at a few opportunities. And I think ever since being put back on that line with Michael Backlund, Mangiapane's been pretty decent hockey player. He gets attempts. He's around the net a whole lot more. Yes, is the goal total lower than what he and many would like? Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And, you know, to have that at just under 6 mil is probably not what you're looking for. But his 38 points are, you know, not tops on the team, but puts him in the top 5 or 6 on the team in terms of points. I don't know. I don't think he's having a poor season. Just the offense, especially the goals, have not been there in a big, big way this year. This says Wolf is better than Markstrom. They should use him for the remainder of the season. I don't know if we can say that just yet. Markstrom is the most proven of all the goalies they've got, and he's having an MVP caliber season. You put him back in when he's healthy. For me, that is a no-brainer. This one says, not too much to like in this game. Biggest issue, no team execution around the net. They felt they were guilty of overpassing. It also break up Huberdeau and Kadri. I felt that ship has sailed. Just no chemistry. Wolf looked okay. Nothing spectacular. No 10 bell saves. The power play fell flat, so really felt like an early season loss where the Flames fell behind and were unable to claw themselves back into it. Take care. Have a good one. The only thing I would say is that I did not mind Huberdeau and Kadri tonight. I didn't think they were great. I thought they were better the last two nights than they were tonight, but I didn't mind them in this game as a duo. I still thought that there were some dynamic moments from Huberdeau, especially in this game, and I thought that they spent a good chunk of time on the attack. I actually thought that line had themselves a pretty decent night. So not as maybe electric as the last two nights where I thought they were really, really good, but I still thought that Kadri, Pospisil, and Huberdeau is probably the most dangerous line for the Flames in this game, but that's my thought on it. This says, let's shut down Markstrom for the season, get him healed up for next year. The Flames are playing for a high pick. They can afford to let Wolf see some NHL play. Well, first of all, the Flames aren't playing for a high pick. You might, that text, like, I don't know who this is texting, but you might feel like that is what you want them to play for, but by no means inside that locker room is that what they're playing for. They're not playing for a high pick. They're still playing to win hockey games. Also, I would like you to go to Jacob Markstrom and tell him that, hey, you're healthy, but we're going to shut you down for the season. It just wouldn't fly. Jacob wants to play. Jacob is a gamer. Jacob's a competitor, and unless it is something that he can't deal with,
or where there's a risk of him being hurt long term, I don't think they're going to shut him down. And honestly, I don't think they should shut him down. This is, I can't completely agree with the analysis on Wolf. On the Strome and the second Ovechkin goal, Wolf stayed in his crease when he had time to come out and cut down the angle. There was simply too much net available on those goals. I don't know how you can say that on the second one. It got tipped. Also, how are you coming out to challenge on a cross crease pass from one to the other? He barely had time to get over on that goal because it was so quick from Carlson to Ovechkin. So it was a two-part text. It feels like this is somebody who's not a Wolf believer, and that's fine. There's no, you're allowed to believe and not believe in who you'd like. That's completely fine, but neither Ovechkin goal to me was stoppable. The first one definitely not. The second one, he went post to post pretty quickly. But what are you supposed to do when Anderson tips it in? And that's not a knock on Anderson either. Tried to block it, right play, but just so happened that he decided that it happened, not decided to, but it just so happened that as he tried to block it, it instead deflected it bar down. Like, what, I don't know what you're seeing on that to say that there was too much net and Wolf should have got over there. But that's, we can agree to disagree. Brian says this is okay. It's over. Losing is not the worst thing. This says, Patty, we can all agree Wolf's a solid goalie, but he's just too small for this league. Was exposed high tonight. Were a bigger goalie, those pucks hit his shoulder or arm. Great down low and side to side. Well, I don't think he's too small for this league. I really don't. You don't go out and allow three goals against two NHL teams in back-to-back games, and you're too small for this league. He's shown that he can play in this league and win games in this league. He's shown that. However, the one thing that remains to be seen is, can he do it? He's clearly an NHL-caliber goalie, in my eyes. But is he an NHL-caliber number one goalie? That's going to take some time to determine. And finally, before we get to the text line, to the phone lines for the first time tonight, Ash writes, biggest difference between Weegar and Anderson, one has learned to shoot more, the other stubbornly refuses to do so. Anderson's unwillingness to change his approach is a key factor in his so-so season. Finally, I think Pelche needs more games with the Wranglers as he still looks a step behind. Yes, I know he didn't play today. I do think Anderson could stand to shoot it more, no doubt. That being said, I also think that it's a tough thing to break because Rasmus has always been a pass-first guy, so I think that it is something that he's going to have to continue to consciously work on. As for the Pelche part, yeah, I don't disagree. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we saw Pelche reassignment to the American League. It's been a tough season, and he's better served playing high up the Wranglers lineup right now than lower down or maybe healthy scratched in the Flames lineup. He just looks a little off it. He looks far too often like a non-factor right now when he's playing, and I think it's a timing thing. I think it's a pace thing. I think it's a product of the fact that he's missed so much time, and so I just think he needs oodles of playing time to get his pace back, and he's not going to get that oodles of playing time at the NHL level right now. So I think a little bit of time in the American League would help him, and wouldn't be a surprise if the Flames end up going that way. Keep your text coming at 960-960. We'll get back to the text line very shortly following a Flames 5-2 loss to Washington tonight as the phone lines are open. We got a couple lines open if you want to chat tonight at 403-240-4444. Your Flames Talk post games available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Pat Steinberg along with you as we go to the phone lines for the first time tonight and say hello to Landon. What's going on, Landon?
Hey, Pat. I'm a diehard Canucks fan, so that was about 47 minutes, the longest I've ever listened to Flames talk. But, man, it's fun watching the young guys play. Like, the Flames have so much hope. Zari, I know he didn't play tonight, but Coronado, like, you know, when the Canucks aren't playing, my wife wants to watch the Flames, and man, it is fun watching the kids play. Like, it's just been, I mean, Wolf, like, too small. I mean, Osgood, look at him. He was a good player, and I've seen him at the driving range, and he's tiny, right? So size really doesn't matter. when you're that good, basically.
I think it's definitely going to be a factor at times. It's something that he can't help, but it's something that I think he will have to deal with throughout his NHL career, and there will probably be times when it does show up. But that doesn't – every goalie has weaknesses, or every goalie has things that are exploitable, and throughout his career, that might be – one thing for Dustin, but it doesn't mean that it is so exploitable that it makes him not an NHL caliber goalie. I think that we've seen that he absolutely is an NHL caliber goalie. It's just to what extent the NHL caliber is.
Well, just like Saros, he's a small guy, but man, when they play hard, and it's fun to watch. Like I said, I don't have a cat in the fight here, but you know, watching Ovechkin play tonight, that was awesome. And then watching the young guys out there, I don't think Rooney's that young, but I mean, Pospisil and all these guys, like, it's just fun to watch. Like, as like a not cheering for anyone on the ice other than just watching good hockey. I just think the Flames have so much hope, and you know, the next couple of years, as long as management takes care of what they got to take care of, like, you know, it's going to be a good team to watch in the future.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Landon. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Following a Flames 5-2 win over the Washington Capitals on this Monday night. Get your calls in right now. We would love to hear from you. Once again, 403-240-4444 if you want to chat on the phone lines. Text lines open at 960-960 as well. As we say hello to George. What's going on, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight?
Good, man.
Good to hear. I'm going to come right out and say it. I'm sorry, but I call BS on the whole narrative about Wolf is too small. I've said it 1,000 times. His athleticism, his puck tracking abilities make up for that. And I agree with you. I think he belongs in the NHL right now. All that has to be determined right now is he a bona fide NHLer, and can he be a number one goalie one day? That is yet to be determined. But Dan Vladar is 6'5", for example, right? But for me, I think Wolf is a better goalie than him right now, and I think Wolf definitely has a much higher ceiling than Vladar. And I'm not saying it to talk crap about Vladar. I'm just using it as an example, you know? Like, just because you're a giant doesn't mean you're going to be a good goalie either. There are so many aspects to goaltending, much of which, you know, like you and I don't know because we're not goalie gurus, or I don't claim to be anyway. And it's just... like, everybody brings up UC Saros, but they bring him up for a reason, right? Like, the guy's a small guy too, but no one ever says that about him. Not to my knowledge anyway, right? Like, he's a starter in Nashville. He was a single reason why they even made the playoffs last year. Nashville, again, this year is, like, the hardest team in the NHL right now. He's one of the reasons. I don't ever hear these criticisms about him, but with Dustin Wolf, he's too small. It gets, like, aggravating after a point in time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Will there be times between now and the end of the regular season where he lets in a goal because of his size? Sure, there will be. I just didn't feel like tonight there was anything like that.
Exactly. And to counter that, how many times will we see him make saves that 85% of the goaltenders in the league can't make because he has that athleticism, because he has that speed, because he has that quick glove hand, because he can get from post to post quicker than most goalies? You got to consider that too. Yes, there are going to be goals that will go get in on him that won't go in on a 6'6", 6'7", 6'8" goaltender. Yes, I give you that. But again, I think with more reps, I think with more time, I think as he gets used to the NHL game, the NHL shooters, he's going to get faster. He's going to track the puck better. At least I'm hoping so anyway. That's what I'm hoping the trajectory is.
Right.
So, like I said, maybe I have too much faith in him, but I'm going to keep it. I've watched him a lot. I love the way he plays. Even I'll admit, I think he should have had a strong goal tonight, but c'est la vie, like... every goalie in this league has let in a goal that they shouldn't have let in, you know? So that,
again,
that,
and again, like
is.
It's not like that was an egregious goal. It was still a That's still a really good shooter and Washington's leading scorer who, yes, beat him clean, and goalies are always going to be pissed about goals that beat them clean, but doesn't mean it was a bad goal.
Exactly. And the other thing is, even let's say, for example, in Dustin Wolf's head, he didn't like that one, right? He's pissed about it. He didn't let it affect him, and he every other goal that was scored on him wasn't a bad goal, whereas some goalies will let one bad one in, and boom, it goes off the rails after that sometimes, you know? That didn't happen with him tonight, so that's something to consider too. You know, that's a positive.
Agreed.
Yeah. What have you thought of Kuzmenko up to this point, Patty?
I don't know. Kind of enigmatic, shows some flashes where obviously you can see the high level of skill that exists, and shows some stretches where he's really irresponsible defensively, shows some stretches where he doesn't do much of anything at all. So enigmatic, up and down. Generally, I would suggest more ineffective than effective.
Yeah, I love that term. Enigmatic. Honestly, that's a perfect description for him. I like the guy, but it is what it is. I mean, I still would do that trade the way Conroy did it over. Like, you had to bring money back, and it's only for one more year. And I'm not even like, he hasn't been horrible. I mean, he's put up, you know, he's scored. He's put up some points. There are parts of this game that you hope next year, even this year, will improve so that you can kind of have a better idea of what you want to do with the guy one way or the other. But if it doesn't, you got him for one more year, and then you see. So it's like, you know, it's been interesting to watch him, though. I can see why Vancouver fans were annoyed with him, to say the least, this year. But it's what it is, you know?
He is a very skilled player that can absolutely help on a power play. Put him in an offensive role, I think that he can do good things for you. But there's also some definite limitations in his game. And what, he's 28 years old. So I don't know at this point how actually fixable those things are. I don't think they're completely unfixable. But it is, you see a whole lot less of things being refined at that age as opposed to when a player is in his early 20s, right?
Yes, for sure. Final one for you, my friend, and I'll let you go for the night. And it's a very simple question. Do you think Ovechkin breaks Gretzky's goal record?
I don't think he's going to retire until he does. So, yes, I do.
Okay, I do too. I thought, honestly, I saw the start he got off to this year, and it was the first time in a while I actually questioned it. Like last season, I was like, no question, Zach, he's gonna do it. And then he got off to this year, and I'm like, oh, and it's just not the goal scoring. It was the way he looked on the ice, right? And it was like, yep. Oof, maybe that's it. Maybe he's just slowed down too much. But, yeah, I think he is too. I don't think he's going to crush it, obviously, but it's exactly what you said. I think he's going to play until he breaks that record, even if it's by one goal, you know? I think he's going to do it, so... It's an interesting conversation to have on that because, like I said, at one point I did question it this year, but he looks like he's getting it somewhat back on track. So, as always, my friend, thank you for having me on. I guess we'll talk Saturday night, and you have a great one.
Thank you, Georgie. Appreciate it. Yeah, the Flames don't play again until Saturday when they visit Vancouver, taking on the Canucks for the third of four meetings this year. As the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444, following a Flames 5-2 loss to Washington, as we say hello to Dave tonight. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Pat, how are you?
Good, man.
Good. I just wanted to say the thing with the younger players on this team. It's exciting to watch, and I think... hats off to Conroy and what he's going about the trades. I got two questions for you. With the goaltending next year, do you think it's a smart idea to keep Markstrom and also Wolf and maybe trade Vladar and get Wolf into 30 plus games? What's your opinion on that?
Well, ideally, yes. I think that would be a great situation. And The only problem with that is I don't know whether or not Jacob is, you know, fully on board with a retool, fully on board with a team that is taking a slight step back. So if Jacob's ideal situation is to play on another team, maybe you try to go, you try to kind of grant that request, because it probably makes sense better for the long term to not have a guy who is, you know, not wanting to be in your situation. If you can move him and get good assets, I think it's something that you need to explore. That's an off-season conversation the Flames are going to have with Jacob. But that would be the caveat. And the problem is I do think that I know the Flames are aware that Jacob is not necessarily enamored with a team that is going to be retooling, going in a different direction for a few years. Now, his mind could change depending on what they do in the offseason. Maybe they've got a plan. Maybe they talk through it with them and convince them. So that would be the only thing that changes it, Dave, is that is it a situation where they can, you know, they can convince him to stick around and convince him to be a part of this thing. If he's on board to be a part of this thing, then I think that would be a great situation to have Jacob and Wolf as a tandem next year.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love that. I agree with you. And I guess that leads me into my next question, is with Kadri. I love the way he's been playing. And again, though, do you absolutely retool and also get rid of him and see what you can get back? What's your thoughts on him?
Well, I think, again, it's a conversation that you have to have with Nazem. Hey, 5 years left on your deal. How are you feeling about the direction of the team? The problem is, even if he does communicate to you that he's likely would prefer or would be happier being on a team that is closer to winning now, even if that is what is communicated to the team, it's a little bit of a more difficult deal to make. Kadri's got 5 years left at $7 million, and it just, there's no guarantee that there's a market for him, or there's no guarantee that there's a market for him that's going to get good return for the Flames, which is something that I think you know, need to take into consideration. So I think it's a valid question, Dave. I just don't know. It's not quite as cut and dried, because I do think there's going to be no question on market for Jacob. And I'm not saying there wouldn't be for Nazem. He's having a hell of a year. He's been their best skater all season long. But would there be a market for him, or how big would it be knowing what is left on his contract?
Awesome. And I do have one fun question for you. What is your pick for the who comes out of the West and who comes out of the East? I know it's early, but who are your kind of front runners right now?
For, like, to play in the Cup Final?
Yes.
Colorado in the West would be my call. After watching Vegas in here earlier this week, or I guess late last week, watching Colorado in here, I'm going to say Colorado in the West. And out East, I'm going to say, I'm going to go Carolina. I've been big on Carolina for the last number of years. I think this is the year that he gets himself over the hump, or they get themselves, rather, over the hump. You know, they've got some really good teams. There's some good teams in the Eastern Conference: Florida, Boston, New York, Carolina. But I'm going to go Carolina, Colorado is what I'll say.
Awesome, Pat. Great show. Thanks for your time.
Be well, Dave. Appreciate the call, my friend. Hey, the phone lines are open. Got a few lines open. If you want to chat right now, you can call 403-240-4444. We'd love to hear from you following a Flames 5-2 loss to Washington here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's say hello to Anand. What's going on, Anand?
Good evening, Patty. How are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Yeah, I just got off the train right timing. I was at the game tonight. I won another pair of free tickets tonight. Took my brother along with me. Yet another tough game I had to see. I go now 1-5-1 in this season. I think our defense overall was poor tonight. Wolf had a little bit trouble too, but I love his attitude. athleticism, though. He was diving to save pucks, and he looked all right, though. And then, a good goal by Kevin Rooney as well. And, another tough stretch of games. I think what we were missing, in my opinion, I would say maybe Nikita Okiechukwu. Maybe if he had in the lineup, the defense would have looked a little decent. But another tough game. A couple of questions for you. How ready is Jacob Markstrom to return to Saturday? I think you tweeted out he was starting to skate. So do you think he'll return on Saturday?
Sounds like he is a pretty good chance of returning on the weekend. So they play Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. So I think we're kind of targeting him to be in either the game in Vancouver or back here at home against Buffalo.
Okay, gotcha. And then do we continuously going to see maybe Mark Aronato up in the NHL, or do you think he'll get sent down for the playoff race? How is that going to work? You know?
Well, right now, I think that I don't know what they're going to do, but right now, I think there's plenty of reason to keep Matt up on the big team. I think he is actually doing his job well in a fourth line role the last couple of games. I know that doesn't necessarily play to his skill set, but it's a nice way to work him into NHL action. He's going to go back and play playoff hockey in the American League, so he's going to be back with the Wranglers at some point, but I don't think it needs to be right away. I think that you can keep him in the NHL for a little bit here and let him continue to practice at the NHL pace. Let him to get some games in, and maybe they decide to shuffle up the lines again, and you can put him in more of a higher up the depth chart type situation. So I wouldn't be eager to send him back right now.
All right, gotcha. And then just a couple more general questions. I think I saw we signed Sam Morton, but we had to reject his contract because he was not 25 yet. That's correct, right?
Well, okay. So what Ann's talking about is the Flames signed a player by the name of Sam Morton. He's a college free agent out of Minnesota State. We spoke with him earlier on Monday's Flames Talk, and he's still going to be a member of the Flames. They registered him as an entry level. He can't be an entry level because when his contract kicks in, he's too old to be on an entry level deal. So he's on his way. He's actually in Calgary now. I believe the process is they'll just refile the contract on Tuesday and it'll be fine. So he's still signing with the Flames. They just have to change a couple of things on the contract itself.
Refile the contract on Tuesday. So he's still
and I gotta drop you. I don't know what's happening there with the radio in the background, so I have to say goodnight, but hopefully that was a good enough explanation on that. Okay, I'll take a break from the phone calls, but you if you're on hold, stay there, and three lines open if you want to chat right now at 403-240-4444. Phone lines open at text line open rather at 960-960, so you can call now, 403-240-4444. Get your calls in if you'd like to chat on this Monday night following a 5-2 loss against the Washington Capitals. Get your texts in at 960-960. Let's hear from one of the goal scorers in this game tonight. Mackenzie Weegar continues to have a great season, scores his 16th of the year, and it was a bomb from the point to get the Flames back within two in the third period. Here's Mackenzie Weegar post-game following a Flames 5-2 loss to Washington.
Mackenzie, what was the difference tonight?
I thought 5-on-5, we were good. We were a good team. Obviously, they got a good shooter on that side. Let him get open a couple of times. Lucky bounce on the one, but I thought, sometimes, we got some momentum, and I think they did a good job at shutting down our momentum. So, I thought it was a good game. We just couldn't find the back of the net at some points, but tough loss.
How did you think you guys did? You knew how desperate they'd be with their situation. How did you think you did it that job?
Yeah, we were prepared. We knew, obviously, that their power play has been hot for a while. We knew that they were in, obviously, sort of the same position as we were. I wouldn't say they were necessarily desperate, more desperate team. because I thought we did play a good game 5-on-5, and they obviously got some, you know, good bounces on the power play. I thought our power play, we needed to get one or two there for sure. But I thought our compete effort were there on 5-on-5.
Do you take like moral victories from these games where you're saying 5-on-5 you played really well? How do you go about extracting those victories from the game like this?
Yeah, I don't know about if it's a moral victory, but you know, we can keep reiterating the positive 5-on-5. You know, keep doing the same things 5-on-5. I thought maybe just get, you know, a little grittier in front of the net, maybe make it a little harder on the goalie, things like that. That's probably where we need to be more desperate. But like I said, you know, it was the power play, a couple power plays for them that gave them momentum, and they did a good job at shutting down our momentum.
You look forward to a little breather in this schedule. It looks like you guys haven't had three or four in a long
time. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. It's obviously, you know, a good break for if guys are, you know, hurt or tired or, you know, want to get their energy back and whatnot. But, you know, for myself, we just keep rolling. I don't care.
There you go. That is Mackenzie Weegar post-game following his team's 5-2 setback against the Washington Capitals. And you know what? I'm going to go with Weegar as tonight's player with heart as we select the player with heart brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. Yeah, I'm going to go Mackenzie Weegar. Thought he was all over it tonight. Had himself a really impactful night. Spent a good chunk of time in the offensive zone. He finished as a 58.8% a 5-on-5 possession player that was with a 33% zone start. So, you know, 1 in 3 of his starts was in the offensive zone. Almost, you know, 2/3 of his starts came in the defensive zone tonight. So, lot of defensive responsibility in the game. And then individually, Weegar finished tonight with 8 shot attempts. He led the team with 6 shots. He had 4 scoring chances and 2 high danger scoring chances. Thought it was a really good night for Mackenzie Weegar, and going to go with him as tonight's player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.ca. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room for a final time. He was one of the 2 goal scorers tonight. Let's check in with Kevin Rooney post-game tonight.
Mackenzie was just saying, you know, 5-on-5, like the game. Obviously, it wasn't the result you wanted. What did you see as the difference tonight?
Yeah, I think he's spot on. I mean, special teams got beat tonight, and yeah, saw it on the scoreboard.
How tough is it to defend Alex Ovechkin from his office? I mean, so many teams have gotten victimized from that. Like, how tough is it to be out there?
I mean, we got a game plan in place, and we just got to execute. And, you know, it's on the penalty kill guys to do a better job. You know, myself right up there, so.
What part of the game plan there maybe was missing tonight? Not missing from the game plan, but what part didn't you feel like you guys executed?
Well, especially on their second goal. They got into the zone way too easy, and you can't give them the line like that. We had a game plan on how to stop them there. And then, you know, obviously a lucky bounce off in the shot lane, but you know, I think we could have done a better job as forwards of maybe sliding over there and anticipating that a little better.
There you go. That is Kevin Rooney post game. He was one of Calgary's 2 goal scorers tonight. 5-2 they lose to the Washington Capitals. So what's next? It's time to look ahead. Looking ahead, brought to you by Oncolytics Biotech, fighting cancer by unleashing the power of the immune system. To learn more about how they use a patient's immune system to battle cancer, visit OncolyticsBiotech.com. Next up, Flames don't play again until Saturday, so this is Monday night. Next up, they play Saturday against the Vancouver Canucks for an 8 o'clock face-off in Vancouver, coast-to-coast on Sportsnet and CBC. Third of 4 meetings between the Flames and Canucks this season. Each team has won one. Each team has lost one in regulation both times. Overall, Flames 3-1-2 in their last 6 head-to-head meetings with Vancouver, dating back to the beginning of last season. So that is next up for the Flames on Saturday. Then they play the very next day. So they play a Saturday-Sunday road home back-to-back. Sunday, they've got Buffalo here at the Dome at 7 o'clock. And they're back on the road for a Tuesday game against Chicago at 6:30. So a weird schedule. They don't play all this week. Then they're in Vancouver Saturday, home to Buffalo on Sunday, travel Monday into Chicago on Tuesday. An odd schedule to wrap up. to wrap up the move into next week anyway. And then it is full on, full bore until the end of the season after Saturday's game in Vancouver as well. That is Looking Ahead, brought to you by Oncolytics Biotech, fighting cancer by unleashing the power of the immune system. To learn more about how they use a patient's immune system to battle cancer, visit OncolyticsBiotech.com. Back to the text line we go at 960-960. What do we got here on the text line? This says, I feel Pospisil was flat. When he hits, he gets the team in the game. Maybe the suspension affected him. I did not think this was Pospisil's most impactful game in that respect. However, that said, I still like that line with him, Kadri, and Huberto as a trio tonight. So I thought Pospisil was fine. Yes, definitely when he is at his agitating on the line hitting best, he definitely sets a tone for this team, and maybe we didn't see that in a big way tonight. I will definitely give you that in that respect. This says, more losses, please. Let's draft Iggy Jr. This reads from Jeff in Lethbridge. Not worried about the result. The Capitals were desperate. The Flames could have been better, but there at least was effort. Wolf needs to see what this league is about. Hope he plays the majority of the final games. Huberto remains an enigma. Goes from star player in Florida to a fraction of that now. 29 years old, is still considered your prime. Really hope next year is a bounce back to prime form. I didn't mind Huberto tonight, honestly. I thought he was one of their more offensively dynamic guys. Made a number of high-end plays on the power play. Part of the problem with Huberto, with how bad things have started as a member of the Flames, is that a lot of what he does is very subtle. Like, we're not always talking about highlight reel things from Jonathan Huberto. So when there's already a stigma and there's already kind of a, I don't know, he's kind of digging uphill when it comes to public perception, it becomes a little bit more difficult when a lot of what he does is more cerebral and less of the highlight reel variety. But I thought he actually made a few really high-end plays in this game tonight. Stu on Vancouver Island says, Tank City, baby. It's a beautiful thing. Let's go. And finally, Andy in Cochrane says, Wolf is going through some growing pains as a future number one goalie. He looked good, and I'm sure he would have liked the first one back. Ovechkin was amazing to watch. It was evident for Ovi to stick around the top of the circle and wait for that one-timer, which is dangerous. Other than that, it was a good game to watch Wolf in net. Future looks bright. Pat, do you put Wolf back in net against the Canucks or start Markstrom, then flip it back to Wolf against Buffalo on Sunday? Do you send Wolf back down? Also, when do you see Vladar getting some time in net? Okay, assuming, and appreciate the text, Andy, assuming Markstrom is healthy, I'm going Jacob on Saturday, and then I'm going Wolf on Sunday. That is what I'm doing, and then you can make a decision from there. I don't believe that sitting Vladar indefinitely is the way to go either, but I would go Markstrom to get him back in against Vancouver if he's ready, and that's the caveat, and then the back-to-back, I'd go Wolf on Sunday, and then I'd probably go somewhat of a Markstrom-Vladar split depending on how Wolf plays in that next game. I think for the time being, having three goalies is okay. And now that the trade deadline has passed, and now that there is no roster limit, I don't think it's as much of a problem. It's much less of a hindrance roster-wise to carry three goaltenders. That's number one. Number two, with the amount that Jacob is practicing right now, which is not very much, even when he is healthy enough to play games, because they're managing that lower body injury, it means that he's missing a lot of practice and not getting a lot of morning skates in, which means that Wolf gets lots of NHL practice time, lots of work with NHL shooters, all that type of stuff. So I'm, and Wes and I talked about it on Flames Talk earlier on Monday. I think that there is a really good argument to be made here, at least for the next couple of weeks, of going three goalies and kind of working it through that way, getting them all some playing time. But I think there is something to be said about Wolf getting a little bit more time at the NHL level as they go down the stretch. They're now 8 points out of a playoff spot, and they will be no closer than 8 points when they play again. It might be even more than that. Who knows? But I don't think there's any harm for the next few weeks. And then near the end of the season, maybe you send Wolf back down to the Wranglers, get him a few of the final regular season games in for the Wranglers, and then obviously he's your Wranglers guy in the playoffs. That's how I would manage it for the next little while. We'll see what the Flames do. Couple more phone calls before we wrap things up tonight as the Flames fall 5-2 to the Washington Capitals here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. This is your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's say hello to Jose. What's going on, Jose?
Pat, hermano, ¿qué pasa?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm all right, buddy. So it's good to hear you feeling better, buddy. That was a rough stretch for you last week.
Yeah, it was about a week straight of just death voice, but it's good now.
It's wonderful.
It's good to be able to talk like a normal human again.
Yes, you sound great again, but you sound beautiful with that baritone richness in your voice.
I don't know if it's baritone, but
it's definitely rich. Pat, I don't know, man. The Flames deserved a better fate tonight. I think they played a better game than Washington. I thought Washington was sloppy a lot of times. They were giving away pucks left, right, and center, and the Flames weren't as opportunistic as Washington was. You know, there's times that the Flames are very opportunistic and they take advantage of their opportunities, but tonight was not one of those nights. And Wolf had a tough night, man. It's a hard league. There's a reason why they call it the best league in the world. It's going to be an adjustment for him, and he's got to get used to the NHL speed and the NHL caliber. But
Well, a couple things. First of all, I agree that, like, you know, the Capitals were definitely the more opportunistic group tonight. Kind of a flip script from what we saw on Saturday, where Montreal probably deserved a slightly better fate than what they got against the Flames. So it happens. So the script kind of flipped in that regard tonight. As for Wolf, I didn't feel like it was that tough a night. I thought there was one goal that you could say that he might have liked to have back, and it was still an uncontested look from a good area from the leading scorer on the team. So it wasn't a bad goal, in my opinion, either. So I thought Wolf was fine tonight. The rest of them, I don't know which ones he was stopping.
Yeah, I mean, that fourth goal, that was pretty crazy. Hand-eye smack out of the air, so that was... You know, that's a tough one to stop, but I mean, you know, that's why it's the best league in the world. That's why he needs to be up here too. I mean, he's got to get used to it. He's got to be at this caliber. And you know, Mick had the point of, you know, what's better for the kid, to be down in the A, you know, playing minutes, or to be up in the N and playing with his caliber guys. I got to agree with Mick a little bit. I think it's better for him to be up in the NHL and be around this caliber of players, because if you're thinking of putting him in full time, there's no more babying, there's no more, you know, there's no more easing him in, there's no more baby steps. It's, you know, now you got to sink or swim, and that's part of being a consistent NHLer. That's the hardest part. That's why this is the toughest league in the world, because you have to be the guys who are here, and the reason they stay is because they're so consistent. It's such a strong mental marathon for a season, and that's where that fortitude comes from. It's that mental consistency, and that's what Wolf has got to get used to. But
no, I think there's a lot to the some of the intangible things that would go along with him staying up here for a little while too. I think there's a lot to that.
Yeah, there is. But enough of the game, Pat, because, I mean, you know, how much more can you dissect out of this? Pat, I want to throw a crazy idea at you.
Shocking that you've got a crazy idea.
I love being, you know, I love thinking outside of the box.
There is no box with Jose. The box has disappeared.
That's a circle with me. It's a circle of craziness with me. But Pat, let me ask you this crazy idea.
Okay.
What do you think if the Flames were to bring in a guy like Erik Karlsson? I mean, I don't know if Pittsburgh has any retention spots to retain some of that salary that Karlsson has. But the one thing that the Flames don't have is a bona fide number one guy on the D. And I think a guy like Karlsson could mentor a guy like Anderson. Or, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with this Brustavich guy, if he's going to be the next, you know, Quinn Hughes. But, I mean, I think that there's a potential for Erik Karlsson to be a good fit on this D-core. Because the one thing that Karlsson can't do is he can't share the stable with another stud horse.
Yeah, I'm going to cut you off there. I don't think there's any way that Karlsson waves to come here, honestly. He wanted to go to Pittsburgh. I think that's where he wants to stay.
Okay. I don't know, I just don't see him as the guy who shares the stable with another stud. When he was there with Brent Burns, it wasn't a good fit. And then when Burns left, Karlsson shined.
I mean, it was a good fit. They went to a Stanley Cup final.
With Burns and Karlsson?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I thought it was kind of a clash.
I hear what you're saying in that it's – and maybe they didn't go to a Stanley Cup final, but they went deep in one. I thought that they did go to a Stanley Cup final, or at least to a Western Conference final they went to with him in San Jose. If it wasn't a Cup final, it was a Western Conference final. But they had a really good first year together. The first year that Karlsson and Burns played together, they were dynamite.
Okay. It just seemed to me like Karlsson was that kind of solo stud, that he was the guy that he had to be the man. And I don't know, just from a mentorship role kind of deal, a couple of Swedes playing together, a guy who's, you know, on the later part of his career, and Anderson was kind of in the prime of his career.
And they went wasn't a Stanley Cup final. They went to a West final and lost to the Blues in 2019. It was a West final. They went to the Cup final in 2016 before he was there.
Yeah, that was against Pittsburgh that they went to the Cup final.
Yeah.
Joe Thornton was still there, I think.
Yep, for sure,
but
he was.
But, yeah, I mean, I just feel like Calgary's defense right now has a gluttony of number two guys. But there's no bona fide number one. I mean, you could look, you know, if this Brustavich guy, you know, develops the way we're hoping and he's projecting it. I mean, we're talking about another, you know, quality guy that could be on that blue line. But who's going to be the lead horse there? Because, I mean, I've been waiting for Anderson to take that step, and it hasn't happened. And maybe it's Weegar. I don't know. Shillington, you know. We'll see if he resigns with the Flames, and this Miro guy looks like he's super serviceable. Like he's fitting really well with the Flames.
I think Shillington is going to resign. I don't think there's any worry about that.
Who's our number one pet?
They don't have one, and Karlsson is not a viable option.
I don't know. I think if you pair him with a guy who's got that capacity to become a number one, it could develop. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Okay, so you tell me, Pat, if the Flames had the opportunity to bring in a number one defenseman, who do you think would be a guy that would be a good fit with Calgary?
I don't know. Like, how many? I don't know if Karlsson is a number one defenseman at this stage in the game. He definitely is a guy who can still work a power play. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know if I would be talking about 33-year-old Erik Karlsson at this stage of the game being a number one defenseman. So I don't know. I don't know what Carlson, with that much time left on his deal at the age of 33 already, I don't know how that fits. There's still 3 years left on the deal at $10 million. I don't really know how it fits what the Flames are looking to do. If they were to, I think that you draft a number one defenseman, or I think you can try to acquire somebody who's younger. I don't have anybody off the top of my head. Not really, because not a lot of number one defensemen hit the market very often. You know,
they don't.
Carlson got to Pittsburgh because Crosby wanted Carlson, and Carlson wanted to play with Crosby, right?
Okay.
It feels really unrealistic that would ever happen.
Okay. No, I'm just you know, throwing crazy ideas.
You're just being Jose. You're being Jose. I like it.
I'm being me, buddy. That's all I can be. I can't be you. I can't be, you know, I can't be any of these other cats that are so good at this, man. I can only be me.
And I come up with. We wouldn't have it any other way.
Bro, that's why I love you, man. You take me as I am.
get out of here. We'll talk soon.
Hermano, love you, brother. Have a buenas noches.
Bye, buddy. Buenas noches. Always great to hear from Jose. And we will wrap it up on the phone lines today by saying hello to Arjun. What's going on, Arjun?
Hi, Brad. This is Arjun here. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I'm a first-time caller, and I'm a huge fan of the Calgary Flames. And actually, I was at the hockey game tonight, and it was such a wonderful game despite the loss.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they played hard, and you know, they probably didn't manage the puck as well as they would have liked. But they played hard tonight.
Yeah, definitely, and also for a fact that I'm Anand's brother, and he was actually trying to call you back, but then he had a Bluetooth error, so that's why he got hung up.
Okay. We have call display, so I did pick up on the fact that you have the same last name as Anand. So this is indeed Anand's brother, hey?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Family affair, I like it.
Yeah, and also when I was at the game, me and my brother got a chance to meet Pahal tonight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we met him, we got a couple photos with him, so that was such a really cool experience for me.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I just had a few questions about the game. So when Flames got their first goal, there was like a review from Capitals about the goal. Do you think like that's like, and then they took a timeout. Do you think that's like a normal thing that could happen in a game or?
Yes, so you are allowed to do that. So you are allowed to take a timeout and then to give yourself a little bit longer to initiate a review. So the Caps wanted a little bit, so you get an extra 30 seconds to look at your video and make your decision. I don't know why they challenged that. It still is a strange one to me. The fact that they used their timeout, got the extra 30 seconds, and still decided to challenge what did not look like a borderline goal at all was really strange. But maybe they saw something that I wasn't seeing. Clearly they did. But I thought it was the right call to uphold the goal. Could have been a big turning point there. Unfortunately, the Flames were unable to score on the ensuing power play to really turn it into a big momentum swing. But, yes, that's even happened earlier this year at the Saddledome margin when Toronto did something similar, and they were successful on their challenge.
Oh, really? Okay, perfect. And also another question, when Flames were down by 3, do you think Vladar should have came in instead of Wolf, or is it a good decision then Wolf stayed on?
No, I would have kept Wolf in.
Oh, okay. Is it just because to give him the experience or?
Well, I didn't really think that it was the type of night that he was chiefly responsible for why they were losing. And it was never a game that was so far out of reach that you needed to make a goaltending change to change momentum. So I would have kept it with Wolf as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also, I noticed that Pahal was in the box like two times. Do you think that was a momentum killer for the Flames, or was it just a regular power play?
No, I think that it was the first penalty was a clear penalty that that needed to be called. It was a hook into the hands of Ovechkin, so that was a clear no-brainer, and they scored the 2-0 goal on that. The second one was a little bit more on the side, like he leveled a hip check. I guess by the book it was interference, but it was on the borderline. They decided to call it interference, and the Capitals scored on that power play as well. So, you know, definitely Pahal by those two penalties did not help the group tonight. So that definitely played a part. And we interviewed him. We interviewed him to kick off Flames Talk postgame, and he admitted as such.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, despite the loss, it was such a good game, and I was really glad that I was able to make it and meet Pahal. So, yeah, it was amazing.
Okay, Arjun, you have yourself a great night, hey?
Yeah, thank you, but have a great night. See, bye.
Have a good night. Thank you so much, and that will wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. And Arjun, the brothers, both getting in on our Flames Talk postgame on this Monday night. 5-2 final score, Flames fall to the Washington Capitals here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. As we start to wind things down, it's time for your final summary in a game the Capitals never trailed in. They opened the scoring at the 14:59 mark of the first period when Dylan Strome ripped home his 23rd of the season. Strome makes it 1-0 from Rasmus Sandin and Nick Jensen, and that was your score after 20 minutes of play. In the second period, a couple of power play goals, the two Braden Pahal penalties we were talking about, kind of turned this one into more of a lopsided affair for Washington, and both those power play goals come courtesy of Alex Ovechkin, starting with his 20th of the season at 5:58 on the power play to make it 2-0. Ovechkin from Max Pacioretty and Tom Wilson, and that marks the 19th consecutive season that Ovechkin has scored 20 goals or more. He would make it or more this season with his 21st of the year less than 4 minutes later. Another power play goal, Ovechkin's 21st from John Carlson and Strome at 9:16. Capitals in control at 3-0. But 85 seconds later, Flames get themselves on the board on a Kevin Rooney goal. Rooney scores his second of the year to make it 3-1. Braden Pahal and Matt Coronato draw the assists at 10:41. But the Caps get that goal right back less than 3 minutes later. Hendricks Lapierre makes it 4-1 with his 8th of the year. Sonny Milano, the only assist at 14:22. Capitals led 4-1 after 40 minutes of play. Flames came out to fight in the third period. They got one goal back as Mackenzie Weegar ripped home his 16th of the year to make it 4-2. Weegar from Michael Backlund at 7:13 at the Dome rocking again, and had the Flames with a little bit of momentum. They had some chances to get back within one, but they could not find a way to make it 4-3. Charlie Lindgren in net for Washington did a nice job of shutting the door, and then Tom Wilson seals it into an empty net at 17:31. His 17th of the year makes it 5-2 from Beck Malenstein, and John Carlson gets us to our 5-2 final score. Final shots were 36-33 in favor of Calgary. Flames finish 0-3 on the power play. Washington 2-3 with the man advantage this evening. Your three-star in the building tonight. Number three star was Calgary's Kevin Rooney. Charlie Lindgren in net for Washington with 34 stops, your number two star. And with a couple of goals, Alex Ovechkin, your number one star this evening. With the loss, Flames fall to 33-30-5. They're back in action Saturday on the road in Vancouver, while Washington improves to 33-25-9. They're back in action Wednesday at home to Toronto. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our on-site engineers Tim Khalil and Matt Jakusko, for our reporter Maddie Rose, and for our outstanding producer Shan Vergie, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. I mentioned next up for the Flames is Saturday night, so they've got the entire week now without a game.
Saturday, they're into Vancouver to take on the Canucks for an 8 o'clock face-off. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Your final score from the Dome, Flames fall 5-2 to Washington. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.